Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to argue with anybody. We don't have to curse and go around acting bad with our words. We don't need any bricks and bottles. We don't need any Molotov cocktails. We just need to go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country and say, God sent us by here to say to you that you're not treating his children right. And we come by here to ask you to make the first item on your agenda fair treatment where God's children are concerned. Now, if you are not prepared to do that, we do have an agenda that we must follow.
Armin Network, for joining us. Welcome, welcome one, welcome all to the Empowerment Network. Today we're going to talk about placing ourselves at the center of our universe. It's a black agenda. We're talking about politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education, all those things that are imperative to a successful black universe, a successful black agenda, a successful actual plan laid out that's asking you to discover what your political agenda is, what your economic agenda is. And hopefully through this discussion, we will find how we can begin to do the work of working on ourselves. And so today I'll start with the NAAEA again, and that is, what is it all about? It's about a political agenda. It's about having an agenda that speaks to the needs of African Americans, those who have, whose ancestors have endured chattel slavery and have come to a place now where we recognize our space here on this planet, and that we're now focusing on what we need. So we want to talk about what our needs are. How will we do that? We will have an economic agenda. We'll talk about what we need financially to build institutions that define our own reality. How we need athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, to take care of our bodies, to take care of our minds, so we get away from these diseased, traumatic states of existence that allow us to be completely and absolutely dysfunctional because we don't know who we are. And then there's the cultural programs to redefine who we are culturally, to stand up and be proud of who we are, what we look like, and make a difference in the world. And lastly, it's a comprehensive education that looks at defining who we are, that we may become the rightful owners of ourselves, and no other man on this planet or woman will ever own us or our ancestors ever. Again, and there you have it. So let me see if I can invite my co-host and good friend in. And but before we do that, I'd like to briefly make a special announcement on this show, and that is, I'd like to say congratulations to my son Ramses for graduating college today. He's having his ceremony as we speak, but of course I will be able to be dual-minded where I could do both at the same time, acknowledging the impact of having young people to do what they do, and at the same time, the show must go on. The show must go on. And so I say to you today, to my youngest son, thank you very much for being a great man with a great name who will do great works in this world. It is without saying that it is without God that and parents and community and family that our young man has not gotten here by himself. It is due to people like our listeners who have supported him. And there is a long list of people who I could name right now, but If you're listening, I say thank you to you for supporting my young man as he has endeavored on completing his college education. So again, I say thank you to Ramses Roan for being the great man that he is. And well, I don't have my co-host in now, so I'm going to slide on over to Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today. How are you feeling?
I feel great, brother. I would also like to congratulate your son Ramses on his accomplishment, you know, but I'm feeling good, brother. Feel good today.
All right. All right. Well, I got your work cut out for you today because I'm asking Brother George to do a dual segment today. That is one, the Willie Lynch moment. But since we're in the season, we're doing Kwanzaa as well, and we're doing our Kwanzaa segment. So we're doing them back to back. And I, again, thank you, Brother George, for being our resident scholar, giving us the information that we need. So take it away, brother.
Yes, sir. I'm going to start out with the Willie Lynch segment, and I'm going to go back to the book Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch by our brother Alvin Mora. Fear tactics of Willie Lynch and those who studied and implemented his methods of control were based on a deeply embedded internal fear for their life. Their abuse of their human property caused within their own psyche layers of unstable security, which in internal response created an even greater emotional need within themselves to put more fear on their already destroyed human property. It was during those moments in history that the African who was being made a slave suffered another level of psychic terror, never suffered before or after on long-term scale recorded in human existence. As a reminder of what has occurred to the black family in general, we must express the level of psychiatric murder in the most minute detail as possibly provided by the English language. Even though words do not always qualify to equate the terror, we can come close by teaching what we know of true history. Now, a lot of the stuff that's in the history books, black folks, we have a different interpretation of what went on there. And so what's being suggested is you teach your children our truth, the things that we have experienced, so they're not hoodwinked by the school system telling them how equal things are and good things are and all of that. And I wish that things were really like that. But for right now, they're not, and our children need to be prepared so that when they hit that glass ceiling, they can bust right on through it, because we won't need their glass ceiling. We'll have our own accomplishments. We'll have our own levels. We'll have our own task at hand, and we'll do the things that's necessary for us to be successful as a people. But it has to start with teaching our young people, you know, how they want to move forward with their life. So that's going to be my Willie Lynch segment. And now,
all right,
I'm going to go into the Kwanzaa segment if Brother Marvin doesn't want to say something in between.
Oh, you got it, brother. You got it.
Okay. Kwanzaa celebration, one, you know, a lot of times it's a lot of questions of, like, where did Kwanzaa come from? Each December, the outreach program receives numerous inquiries about the festival Kwanzaa. This celebration is not a festival originating in any of the 55 African countries, nor is it an African Christmas celebration. Kwanzaa is an African-American celebration of life from the 26th of December to January the 1st. Now, that's our celebration. Now, Dr. Marlana Karenga introduced the festival in 1966 to the United States as a ritual to in response to the Watts riots. He was trying to get something to pull us back together, and he came up with the Kwanzaa celebration. Dr. Karenga created this festival for African Americans as a response to the commercialism of Christmas. In fact, one might say that Kwanzaa has similarities to Thanksgiving more so than it does to Christmas. Or the Yam Festival in Ghana and Nigeria. And the word Kwanzaa is a Kiswahili, which is the languages of Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. Word, and it means first. Kwanzaa means first. Now, Kwanzaa is broken down into where you have the symbols of Kwanzaa, and then you have the principles of Kwanzaa. Now, I'm going to go into the symbols of Kwanzaa first. And if I don't pronounce one of these African words properly, please forgive me. But I'm going to spell the word after I say it. Number one is the Mazayo, and it's spelled Mazao, and it symbolizes crops. The Mazayo symbolizes the fruits of collective planning and work, and the resulting joy, sharing unity and Thanksgiving, part of African harvest festivals. To demonstrate Mazayo, people place nuts, fruits, and vegetables representing work on the mkeka. Now, the mkeka is the mat, the placemat. Now, in order to celebrate Kwanzaa, you have to set up the traditional symbols. And so that's what I'm reading through right now. The mkeka is the placemat. Just as the crops stand on the mkeka, the present day stands on the past. The mkeka symbolizes the historical and traditional foundation for people to stand on and build their lives. Third symbol is the Mahindi. The Mahindi is the ear of corn. The stalk of corn represents fertility and the idea that through children, the future hopes of the family are brought to life. The fourth symbol is the Mishuma. And the Mishuma Saba is the seven candles. The candles are ceremonial objects that serve to symbolize, to symbolically recreate the sun's power, as well as to provide light. There are three red candles and three green candles and one black candle that are placed in the Kanara. And the Kanara is the candle holder. That's number five. The Kanara represents our ancestry and the original stalk from which we came. Number six is the Kikombi Sha Imoja, the unity cup. On the sixth day of Kwanzaa, the liberation ritual is performed to honor the ancestors. Every family member and guest will take a drink together as a sign of unity and remembrance. The Zawadi, which are the gifts. On the seventh day of Kwanzaa, gifts are given to encourage growth, achievement, and success. Handmade gifts are encouraged to promote self-determination, purpose, and creativity. And I noticed that I didn't spell out those words for you, but I believe we're going to be doing this again next week. So at that time, I'll get that straight because I don't want to hold this up from the other topic that's at hand. Now, the next part are the...
You're doing a great job.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, the next part of Kwanzaa are the seven core principles, which are called the Nguza Saba. Now, the Nguza Saba are the days. Now, there is a traditional greeting that you use during the Nguza Saba, which is a Baragani, which is spelled H-A-B-A-R-I, and the word Gani, G-A-N-I. And that stands for, how are you? Or, how's the news with you? Now, the first principle, which is the first day of Kwanzaa, is Ujima, which is unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. The second day is my favorite, Kuji Chagalia, which is self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. The third day is Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility, to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. The fourth day is Ujamaa, and that is cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses to profit from them together. The fifth day is Nia, which is purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Number six is Kuumba, which is creativity, to always do as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And the last day, seventh day, is Imani, which is faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. And that's a basic rundown of Kwanzaa. So
thank you,
I'm
Brother
going
George.
To turn it back over to Brother Mark. You're welcome, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother George. Great job. Great job. Okay, so think about this, people. We're focusing on Kwanzaa for a reason, right? Number one, it is our holiday. It belongs to us. We made it. We developed it. Let's celebrate it, right? And so this week we're going to talk about Kuji Chagalia, and that is self-determination as a part of our theme of returning to our rightful place. So today's topic is going to be placing ourselves at the center of our universe. And since we've been in this country, we had to place at the center of our attention the needs, the wants, and the desires of all others. It is now time for us to return to our rightful place where we have self-determination to create holidays and celebrate ourselves, for example, become the people that we were born to be, to build institutions that define our own reality, to have, like I said before, a political agenda, an economic agenda, health and wellness, where we're not sick and needing so much help and assistance to just sustain ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. To develop cultural programs like Kwanzaa and like the things that we're doing here at the NAAEA and the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center and a lot of other things to be able to enhance our people. It's our job now, and this is our holiday. And so we're going to say, hey, look at the principles inside of Kwanzaa. Last week it was unity. This week it's self-determination. Let's determine for ourselves what our future will be like. I'm going to the lines, and hopefully my co-hosts will be in a few minutes. But I'm going at the top of the deck, and today it's 9282. Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin, 365 Days of Motivation and Personal Empowerment just for you. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Hope all is well for everyone today.
Hey, brother.
Yes, sir. And let me begin by saying, may peace be unto you all. Assalamu alaikum.
I like that. Peace unto you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Going back to the Bible, I was reading the Bible again, studying the Bible again, and I try not to come on this show with predetermined topics. I try to let it flow into what you're going to talk about. But it just so happens that what I was looking at in the Bible, I went back to the beginning of the book, Genesis,
mm-hmm.
where it says,
mm-hmm.
in the beginning. And obviously you could say, well, okay, when was that? But that wasn't the approach I took to say, when was it? But in the beginning, I thought of, what's another way to say in the beginning? Do you know, brother, another way we could say in the beginning?
At first, off top.
Yeah, off top. But another way that they say it all the time in a lot of other stories is
from
once
the get-go.
Upon a time. Once upon a time. Okay? That's another
okay.
way you can say in the beginning. Once upon a time. Once upon a time. Well, when was that time? What happened at that time? And I got to thinking now, Elijah Muhammad teaches. And by the way, another book that would be a nice read by Elijah Muhammad is Message to the Black Man. It's one of the first books I read that came out of the Nation of Islam. And when you look at God, the creation of himself, I started wondering, what would be the first thing God would have to do when he first came into existence, first came into creation, what the first thing God would have to do? And I started thinking, well, the first thing he'd have to do is reproduce himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on. So his life goes on forever and ever, eternity. He'd have to reproduce himself. Because what would make him God, or what good he would be at being God if he could not reproduce himself? So he'd have to make, quote-unquote, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe God is a man. So he'd have, that's reproducing himself. He would reproduce what he is. And therefore that gives him his eternity. And he would put himself in what he reproduces in himself. And I think that's where we as a people miss it. We don't,
okay.
We reproduce ourselves, but we don't prepare what we reproduce to be us and to be themselves,
mm-hmm.
or to be
okay.
ourselves. You know, we prepare, for example, white folks teach their children that they are it. They are the ones. They prepare them for them organizations, them corporations that they pass along to them. They teach them that they crap don't stink. They the man. They it. We as slaves, quote unquote, we teach our children how to be like master, not the master, but like master. We teach our children Master's language. We teach our children Master's mm-hmm. ways. We teach our children to love Master, you know, to run after Master. We teach our children that I'm going to go somewhere after I leave, when I die, to prepare a better place for you. But we don't teach them that there's a great place that we already brought them into.
Okay.
That this is a greatness that's created by us, created by God, created by me, and I am in you. So when I'm not around you, I am in you, and I'm still here, and where you are should be your heaven. Not that I'm going off to get to heaven and prepare a place
mm-hmm.
for you. I've already brought you here, and we don't give our children that mindset. We give our children the mindset, well, have faith, and all I can do for you now as I'm about ready to leave when I get old and I'm moving along, hopefully you get it, is what we tell our children, and just have faith in, quote-unquote, Jesus. And then when you die, you will see me again. But right now, I'm leaving you here to deal with this situation that you're in that I really have not prepped you for. Because I have not cultivated your greatness. And I can't
right.
see that being God's will. You prepare yourself. You reproduce yourself. And you leave your legacy in your children. You leave your greatness in your children. You leave your eternity in your children. That's why even if I so-called pass along, I'm still here.
All right.
I reproduce myself.
I got to hold you right there, brother. I got to hold you right there. Powerful as always, but I got to hold you right there. I got to come back to you because I got to get to the rest of the callers, but I will be back. Thank you for that. The brother is saying that we have to be able to instill that we are God and God is us. I like that. I'm going down the line. 0946, Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. What you got?
Yes.
You're live.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. I first just want to say again, congratulations to Ramses on his graduation. And I also want to thank Brother George
thank
for the
you.
Commitment to bring something to help us with our mental liberation and the time that it takes for him to do that. I do appreciate that. But my comment is that Kwanzaa is our holiday. And
you got that right.
The symbols that are being represented in that holiday are the manifestation of our mental liberation. They're not just symbols, something for us to just look at, but they're actually coming from a mind of liberation that says this is who we really are. And so I just want to say that what National African American Empowerment Association today, this is a manifestation of our mental liberation. So this is not about the problem. This is a manifestation of the solution. It is about who we believe that
That's right.
we really are. This is a tool to maintain the liberation in our mind and protect our psyche from the naysayers that say that it can't be done. And so I'm thankful for a place that sharpens my mind and continues to renew my mind, that I am empowered as an African American to do whatever it is that I need to do. So that's really all I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. And again, we're talking about placing ourselves at the center of our universe. That means our thoughts, our actions, our activities, our ways, how we develop our children, the things that we focus our attention on. How do we do that? Thank you for the compliment for my son, but also thank you for acknowledging the work of Brother George. He puts his time in, and he is our resident scholar. He is a learned, well-learned man, and we will talk with him a little bit later on. 4692, if you're talking, I'm listening. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin, it's the Empowerment Hour. You're on live. Talk to me, caller.
Good
4692.
Afternoon, my brothers and my... Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Hey,
hello?
How you doing, sister?
I am well in yourself and enjoying the conversation, enjoying the enlightenment that exists. You know, we had started as a family Kwanzaa celebration. And during that time, we try to use it as an opportunity to educate our kids. I can't, about the principles, I can't tell you that they
That's
understand
right.
everything or remember everything. But what I do tell you is that, you know, the way that we move from where we are today is to recognize that everything starts with a thought. And then that
like
thought
that.
Translates into a deed. And then that deed translates into behavior. And then
mm-hmm.
that behavior translates into a habit. And so it is that if we want to move forward and make change in our lives and define ourselves for ourselves, it starts with that thought. And that's why the National African American Empowerment Network is so critical and so valuable, is because it's putting the thought forward, right, that we need to begin that process. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't – one of the things that I will say is that everything that has come down through the time and all of the life that we've lived, I don't see it as all negative. It's been some horrible things that we as a people have encountered at the hands of the oppressor. But all of
True.
That comes to me from that negative energy, that negative spirit. And we need to acknowledge that that's a spirit that's in this world that somehow or another may resonate in people. But if I believe in my creator, I believe that my creator created all people. And so that for me starts with saying it's possible for me to reject the oppression, to reject the things that have been used to enslave my people, the mindset that even still exists today. But I don't necessarily have to reject my other brothers and sisters. And I just wanted to put that out there because that's something else that I think that when I think about
mm-hmm.
Kwanzaa as a unique African-American holiday, it is also something that I share with my non-African-American friends, because the same way I enjoy Christmas and whatever else is out there, because that's what I've been brought up in, I want them to begin to know what Kwanzaa is all about. Thank you for that.
I like that, sister. I like that. And to all of my friends out there, Habarigani. How about that? I'm practicing my Kwanzaa on y'all. All right, I'm going on down. Thank you, sister, again, to 4756. It's the Empowerment Network, Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin. We're talking about placing ourselves at the center of our universe. 4756. You're alive.
Yeah.
You're alive.
Yeah, greetings, this is Brother Warren, New Orleans. Wake up, enjoying the,
hey, Brother
the dialogue.
Hey, Brother.
Yeah, well, one thing went out the window for me just a while ago. That was the nutrition. I just chumped down on some pizza and some wings. So I got to work on the nutrition part.
Got to do it, Brother Warren. We need you around.
But when I look at the principles of Kwanzaa that Maulana Karenga devised, they are very appropriate aspects by which we should set our lives around. I like Umoja, unity, and Kaumba, creativity. I would like the younger generation, I would like to impart to the younger generation in the United States that as America accommodates more and more people from outside the United States to live here, which includes black immigrants from Africa in particular, that they should try to learn more about these African countries, the languages that are spoken, to be able to form umoja with fellow African brothers and sisters, because the numbers, our numbers growing as a black population in the U.S. is very problematic for the dominant group. And so therefore there'll be interest, as always, to foster division. And you cannot practice Kwanzaa and not identify with Africa. It just don't go hand in hand. You know, the whole purpose of creating Kwanzaa was to bring
mm-hmm.
black people closer to their African ancestry and their inherited African culture and communicating with other continental Africans. So in order to make Kwanzaa principles more applicable and real, there should be attempts by people to find someone from an African country, ask them about their country, befriend them, bring them around your family, your home, you go around them, and they really appreciate that. They really appreciate your interest in them in their country, because when they come here, they want communication, but they see too many African Americans still have that African phobia and they have stereotypes of Africa, so they clam up and kind of stay away because they're getting questions like, do you wear shoes in Africa? Do you live in trees? They're seeing African Americans become repulsed at the mention of Africa. So it is upon us. We are the host in this house. We claim we are from here. We should be the ones to welcome, send out the welcoming mat to these black immigrants. And you cannot embrace Kwanzaa if you do not embrace not only other people from Africa, but black people from other parts of the world as well.
That's so true, Brother Warren. That's so true. Thank you. This is our holiday. This is our celebration. It's our time. We have to, again, put ourselves first. That means now we're defining what our reality would be. How do you do that, you're asking, Brother Marvin? By practicing the principles of unity, of working together, collective work and responsibility, of self-determination, of deciding that principles and values and integrity and morals are important, and that we stop following the model that we've been given in our enslavement, in our integrative mode, and be more of an independent minded, African-centered individual in the diaspora. We got to love on all people, get me wrong, but we have to understand how to love on ourselves first. They have Chinatown for a reason, right? They have Little Italy for a reason. They got Bush Gardens for a reason. They take you back to the old country, what their values and their culture is, because culture is important. I'm going back to 9282. 9282, it's your turn. I'm back at you again, brother. What you got?
Well, I just wanted to comment on what Brother Warren just said when he said we, the African-American people here, need to put that carpet out for our brothers and sisters coming from Africa, to truly understand the principles of Kwanzaa and so forth. And what it got me thinking was that shows us the mindset of us, a lot of us in this country, that if we feel the way, and I've heard the things that brother mentioned about we springing through trees in Africa, we had the bones in our nose in Africa, and after the white man hadn't came and got us, we still be over there doing it. See, that mindset shows us we should not need Kwanzaa or anything else to inspire us to put out the carpet for our brothers and sisters, not only from Africa, but from around the world. Because they won. They the same as we are, brother. They are brothers and sisters. You know, we're not defined by landmass. You know, hell, the world is ours. The earth is ours. And
true.
We're black folk, as we call it, from all over. So we definitely, we are one. We say this, but again, I don't think we understand it. We are one with God. We're supposed to be one with God. We're running around talking about individuality, and I'm an individual me. And the God didn't create individual you, individual me. He created us. He created we. He created family. We are one. And that's what we're missing. When you talk about coming back to the center of the universe, of our universe, you're not coming back by yourself. You don't want to come back by yourself. It's we coming back. It's us, we as a people. And we got to understand, if we want to change this system or even get rid of this system and destroy this system, brother, I'm going to say this, and we have to think about it because it's another show to talk about it.
All right.
We got to kill the slaves. We got to kill the slaves.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not talking about house niggas, field niggas, all that. I'm talking about the slave, the slavery mentality. Because slaves do nothing but reproduce. The slaves just reproduce more slaves. That's what all slaves do. And the slaves reproducing more slaves keep the system alive. So to get rid of the system, to destroy the system or change the system, you got to kill the slave. Because so long as the system has slaves, the system will survive and thrive. Because the system
All right.
was founded and built on slaves. Like I said last week, it predates the latest, the earliest writings of 11,000 years ago. Probably came
mm-hmm.
before then, the slavery. So this system has been in place for over 11,000 years, if that's true, you know. So we've got to kill the slave, because slaves only reproduce slaves.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. And we have to be able to change the mindset, right? That's what he's talking about. Is that right, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir,
you
got
to change your mindset. So I don't want y'all to mix up what he's saying, kill people. He's talking about kill a mentality, right? And so many of our people have been conditioned. I'm going to come back to you, brother, in just a few minutes. Many of our people have been conditioned and at a really dysfunctional state of being, and that is where the system wants you to be. I'm going to go down to Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
What you got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Coming in live.
Well, my position, you know, on all of that is, you know, I work on that every single day, because our people are very lost, man. I mean, it's like it's a hard, you know, thing to face up with, you know, with how, you know, dead in the mind our people are, and how we're still,
True.
You know, influenced
True.
By the institution of slavery, and we don't even know it, you know. And books like the book by the sister Joy DeGruy, man, that book is, my mind is
yeah.
all over the place.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, the horrors and the terrors and the educational part of what our children are taught every day in school. I mean, it's like this huge contradiction with, they teach that George Washington is the father of the country. Okay, but that was to them. But to us, George Washington was a slave owner, a rapist to our little girl,
True.
And he was a wicked slave master. So I'm like, how do you like maneuver through that with your children? And we're sending our children to that school to be taught that, and then when they come home with all of that in their minds, that all of that miseducation, we have to figure out a way to push that back out of them, and also for them to be able to maneuver through school and make good grades. It's like it's a task that it's an unbelievable task that I really have issues with, you know, and that's the reason why we need our own schools and we need our own school system, period, in this country. I think that at some point in the future, things really have to start breaking down to, like, actual individual states where people do things completely different. Because as long as we continue to get the information in our hands that we get, like Brother Booker was saying about killing the slave, like, the only way we could kill the slave is to give our people the proper information that can
mm-hmm.
transform them into who we once were, and to take us back to who we are. You know, I mean, how do the most creative people in the world that have a track record don't even know their names in history, except nigger, you know, Negro, African American? We don't know any of our actual names before the 15th century, because they won't teach you that, because they don't want us to be able to kill that slave that's been put in us. But with every breath that I have left on this planet, I'm going to try to teach my people. I'm going to try to give them everything that I can, whether they reject it or not, because it's up to you. You have the freedom of choice to reject the truth or to accept it. You can listen to what Donald Trump is talking about, and you can follow him and say, well, he'll pay me money to help destroy my people. Well, you're in for a serious fight, taking a risk like that, you know. But I'm really involved with that in the first place, because every day we have a program in Wickham Court, and I have to go in there. And when I'm dealing with my people, we're supposed to actually be a link between the public school system and our people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hired a bunch of our people that live there, who are my workers. And so we're supposed to be the link so that they won't be trustful to what's going on, because I'm not going to give them nothing that's not right, you know. But I'm
that's
just saying,
right.
like, but we still. But we still have issues even with that. Even though we come in, you know, to try to do right, you know, it doesn't always, like, just pan out like that. But, you know, like I said, my position is I'm going to do everything that I can, you know, to help my people. And hopefully my mind will be more prepared when you call on me. And because I was in the middle of doing some things while I was still listening to the show and enjoying with the comments from the other brothers and sisters that's on here, you know.
Well,
but I'm gonna turn that back.
You are always ready. I wanna ask you one more question before I let you go. Give me your take on you said Kuji Chagalia was one of your favorites, I believe.
Yes,
you said
sir.
That. Just give me a little bit on
yes,
that
sir.
Before you go on, and why that's one of your favorites.
Well, it's one of my favorites primarily because of the teaching that I'm under. A follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And one of the key ingredients from what I understand from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings is to do for self and kind first.
I like that.
And so, when you join the nation, your last name is taken away, and you are given an X, because your real name you really don't know. Okay, so when I got that X, once you earn a name, then you are given a name to replace that X. So. When you hear Kuji Chagalia, for us to speak for ourselves, create for ourselves, do for ourselves, look out for our brothers and sisters, that's the same principle that I live by every day. You see, so that's why Kuji Chagalia is like my favorite. I'm not saying that the rest of them are not, you know, excellent. I'm just saying that particular one, you know, name ourselves. You know, because
right.
I tell people, we Moors. We're the Moors. So if you don't agree with that, that's on you. But as far as I'm concerned, based on the history that I know, we're the Moors. You know, so that's why I like Kuji Chagalia is my favorite, probably.
Thank you, Brother George. And again, that's what the NAAEA is all about. It's about acknowledging our greatness. How do we start to do this on a more collective basis of being able to transform our thinking? And I dare say that a lot of our people are afraid of thinking about the principles of the Nation of Islam, which I think if you go and you do the research on it, it's the most practical form of self-help that we have in this country that has transformed generations. of African Americans to be the best that we can be. And so the work has been done. It's a great foundation for African Americans. And again, I think we have to understand the principles. For me, it's all about principles. Whether you're talking about Islam, or whether you talk about Christianity, or whether you talk about Buddhism, the point for me will always be the principles. Live by them, practice them if you're going to pursue that. I'm going to slide on over now. Thank you, Brother George, to 0946. If you're ready, I'm coming back to you, sister. 0946, Marvin Wrong. Go ahead, sister.
Yes, I'm enjoying everything that's being said today. And thinking about the mindset that's kind of been on the table today, sometimes the diagnosis is worse than the disease. Because if you in the diagnosis believe that you will not be cured, that it's impossible to get over this thing, you end up making the disease more real than it really is. And I think that's part of the indoctrination. Is I think that's why we spend so much time around what can't be done or the condition that our people is, because still in our mental eye and our consciousness, we don't see that there's the possibility that we can let go of the concept, that we can just let it go. You know, but there's this collective consciousness around it that is so prevalent and so strong. And so spaces like this just really help with the work of undoing all of that and not saying it's forever, because we have this collective consciousness out here that some people believe we will never be free, which is not true. But if we believe it to be true, then it makes it true. So I'm thankful for this association that gives us the tools to continually challenge our psyche and our consciousness in that it can be done. And that we do have the power, and that what I see in myself is what I see in my brothers and sisters. So if I know that I'm able, then I'm going to see in them their possibility in being able to do what they need to do. And that we are not destined to this diagnosis of post-traumatic slave syndrome that Dr. DeGruy does an excellent job of expanding on and explaining, but it's not our forever reality. It doesn't have to be. And so I'm just thankful for an opportunity to be a part of a space that reminds me of that. Thank you.
Thank you, sister, and I appreciate you. We have been thoroughly indoctrinated and conditioned, and we know that. And so we have to have organizations and strategies and practices and principles that liberate us, that liberate our children and our family politically, culturally, socially, and educationally. I'm going back down to 4692. If you have me, join me once again. 4692, are you there?
I am. And the sharing by the sister who just spoke, all I can do is say amen to both every aspect of it. The medium that this opportunity provides us with, this association, the realities that there are some traumas that we've gone through, but that is not the end of the game.
True.
And you know, just that same thing. We know what the story is, but the end still ends in victory, and that's what we're all moving towards as a people. So I just have to put a pin in it right there and say amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. We're talking about a collective consciousness and placing ourselves at the center of our own universe, right? And looking out from there, not from our conditioned state, but from a reconditioned state where we go back to our authentic self, our authentic mindset, as some say, our African mind or our African American mind, that have allowed us to adapt to a terrible system that has terribly harnessed us with an inferior mentality, many of us, not all of us. Brother Warren, you there?
Yes. I just want to say that that I like us to reanalyze this concept called post-traumatic slave, because we're not post-racism. We're not post-being mistreated based on our color. So we are in a continuation of this mistreatment. We are under psychological abuse. We are under abuse by the inadequate, inequitable distribution of resources, jobs, healthcare, et cetera. So we're still living under mistreatment. Okay, of course, the onus is on us to grab the whip from the hand of the person cracking the whip. I think right now, the pro-Trump supporters, one of their slogans right now is start the cracking. The cracking, that's one of the mottos they're using, the cracking. And I think that we're not in a post anything. And another thing about enslavement, if you really understood the mind of our enslaved ancestors, they really were not dependent people. They really were not people who believed that they should be slaves. In fact, if they did, I argue we wouldn't be here. We might be the ones. We might be ones who actually may have problems with our way of thinking. The enslaved population were survivors, and they were brilliant strategists on how they can protect their families the best way they could, given the severe circumstances. You know, American blacks have had some of the most, families, strong families, compared to even white people with everything. You know, and these family bonds that we had to, you know, one of the saddest things are joyous. Mm-hmm. You want to read. Read after enslavement how black people put ads out looking for their family members that had been sold away, or how they went True. Walking the roads looking for their family members. So their condition was that they were enslaved physically, but I don't think they had a mind of being slaves. They were very resilient people, and they resisted the attempt to make them see themselves as being servants of white people. And so we need to reconsider a lot of terminology and phrases that have become like cliches in the conscious community. We need to analyze these phrases in turn. So we're not post anything. We're still living in a racist relationship with white people.
Got that right. Thank you, Brother Warren.
You,
I appreciate
Warren.
Your contributions. As always. All right, we're winding it down. We got about 2 minutes left on the show. We have survived slavery, Reconstruction, Black codes, Jim Crow, and the name of the list goes on and on and on about the children of our enslavers. That would be mass incarceration, war on drugs, and it continues. In every iteration, we continue to adapt. And I would dare say even COVID may be one of the children of slavery. So, again, I say thank you to all of you who listened today. Send this out to your friends and family and listen to the points that are being made. Have conversations about it. Practice a principle of Kwanzaa this week. Begin to integrate it into your family structure, not only for the last week in December as a holiday, but as a lifestyle. We have tremendous work to do, and it is like listeners like yourself that make it all possible. So thank you again for listening. Have a great week. Be the best person that you can be, and never stop trying until you reach your goal. Have a great week. It's the Empowerment Network, www.theempowerment.weebly.com, and a whole lot of other stuff. We're at the NAAEA. Go out and see what we're all about. We have some objectives that we're trying to meet. Help us do that. Become a member of a collective consciousness and a community that's working for you. Until next week, we'll talk to you soon. Love you and peace.
where the brave dare not go to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness, you shall.